You know, we talked about though the darkness hide him in that song. I love that because it leads right into what we're going to look at first this evening. And that's the only thing. The darkness of men's minds is really the only thing that hides him from us, isn't it? Once we are members of the family of light, then we are enabled to see him in all his glory. We're given all that is necessary in that complete salvation that we got over there in Colossians chapter 2. And going over to 1 John, I'm going to start over in 1 John, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, we know the Christian life begins with one word, and that's love. And that love caused God to prepare something for those who would accept him in whatever age and had a plan and purpose for their lives. So it begins with love, and we access the things of God by faith, don't we? It's all about love, his love toward us that caused us to love him, and then our faith placed in what he's already done. I think we talk a lot about what we can do for God. He doesn't need us to do anything for him. But you know what? Paul tells us over in Romans 12 that we do have a reasonable service. You notice that last word there, service. We are here to service him. As his children, we are here to service him. And there are plays into that worthy walk thing. Almost anywhere in the writings of the Apostle Paul or in Scripture at large, just about, you can go lots of places and find instruction on how to have a worthy walk. And here's one clue for you that I've always loved this passage. Of course, I like this whole book a whole lot. I don't know why, but I kind of like it a whole lot. But he says in the third verse of 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, and the word is fellowship. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that walk equals fellowship. Fellowship equals walk. Because if you're not fellowshipping with him, you're not going to have the walk. And here are some of the criteria for that. Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. That's who our fellowship is with. Now, when John wrote this, you see, he had to be in fellowship with him because if he wasn't, he couldn't have said that his fellowship was with him, with the Father and with the Son. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. He is light. And in him is how much darkness is in God? None. But the darkness can blind us to the things of God. Even those of us who already have the Holy Spirit and have that blessed hope, it can blind us sometimes to the things of God because we get too tied into what the world thinks is correct, what the politicians think is correct, what Oprah and Dr. Phil think are correct. We get ourselves tied into those kinds of things and we lose sight of the one that Paul's talking about over there in Philippians 3. That's the goal. That's the aim, to have a walk that is so worthy that I become less like Bill Hudson every day and more like Christ Jesus every day in my life. And I'm going to tell you what, that is not something Bill Hudson can do. That is not something that anybody in this room can do. Only one person can do that in you. And that's the Holy Spirit that's working in you, that came to live in you, he says over in Ephesians 1, the moment you believed, the Holy Spirit of promise sealed you into that body. Now we have that reasonable service. And we need to, in order to fulfill that reasonable service that we have for God, we need to grow up in grace, and we need to be walking in a way that will be pleasing to him. And the only way we're going to do that is if we are also walking in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him. I hear a lot of people who believe that they have fellowship with God. I hear a lot of people who believe that they're worshiping God in a lot of ways. And I'm going to tell you what, some of the ways, and we've heard some of them up here from this pulpit this week, some of the ways that folks think that they're honoring God, think that they're worshiping God, they're not. They're honoring man, they're honoring self, they're honoring their idea of what worship is. And if we talk about, I love it, you know, Mark Carr, that other preacher that's from over there at Arlington. I'll tell you what, I always get some good stuff out of his messages. He always gets a good laugh out of my message. I always get some good stuff out of his messages. But all of the different ways that we twist ourselves up in knots trying to do things for God, you're not going to do it. We have to be walking in the light, and the light is going to provide what we need. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. If we say that we are His children and that we're walking in fellowship with Him, well, we may be His children, but that doesn't mean we're walking in fellowship with Him. Just because we show up in the building once a week doesn't necessarily mean that we're walking in the light. You know, I see it over and over, and I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it early on as a young man. Go to church on Sunday. You know where I was Saturday before I went to church Sunday? Yeah, it was a big tall stool, and there was this bar in front of it. That's where I was on Saturday. And a lot of folks do that. And it doesn't have to be that to that extreme. It can be anything that you place before the light. Anything that you put that blinds you to your needs in Him. Your need to have Him work through you. Anything that you put in His place is going to blind you to the truth that the light has for you. We can't see through addiction. We cannot see Him through if we're honed in on finances, if we're honed in on some big business venture, if we're honed in on collecting the latest dolls or whatever, if that's the gist of your life, hugging trees or saving the baby whales, whatever it is, I have to show you back to the Apostle Paul, the one that is the apostle and preacher and teacher to the Gentiles, the one who is the steward of this dispensation of grace. Because what did he tell Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2? If you're going to be a soldier for me, you cannot become entangled with the affairs of this world. But that's what we become entangled with, isn't it? Whether it's that video game, whether it's that sports thing that we get tied up in. And I know, there's lots of you here that are really into child sports. Well, I it's all right in its own way, but I get kind of... being a minister and having been a youth minister for many years, sometimes youth sports kind of get in my eye. But I digress. I don't chase rabbits at all. I just digress a little bit. Mark's over there laughing at me. Okay. But we lie in the truth and do not the truth. We're not being truthful. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And, of course, we know that that's something that occurred in the past in our life and with results that continue on into the future. We said that the fellowship equals a walk. Our fellowship with Him is going to equal out to the type of walk that we have and whether or not that walk is going to be in Christ Jesus or whether or not that walk is going to be in the world or in self. And if it's in self, then it's in the world. If it's not about Him, then it's all about you. Because, you see, we are self-centered creatures. By nature, we are self-centered. And we serve self. We're going to do what's comfortable for us. What's easiest for us. What gets us the most profit. That's what we're going to do. If we're serving Him, the only way we're going to want to profit is by spiritual growth. Gaining that spiritual growth and what He has for us. The blessings that He has for those who serve Him out of a pure heart. We get some instruction that fellowship equals walk, and walk equals fruit. What we produce in that walk. How many know that Christian people live on two planes? How many people know that we're a paradoxical group of people? We are alive in Christ Jesus. We're dead. And that's the key to becoming a member of the family of light. You see, we have to die first. But we don't have to die physically first to become that member. Over in Romans 6, what did Paul say about that? All of you who were baptized into Christ, who were identified into Christ, were baptized into what? Into His death. In that He died, you died. In that He was buried, you were buried. In that He arose, you arose. In that He will live, you also shall live. And how many times did He have to die to accomplish that?
One time.
And that's all you have to die is that one time. The first time you accept His finished work on Calvary, you died to sin. And you're supposed to become alive then to Him. And as far as God the Father is concerned, you are. You are now alive to Him. You are now perfect and seated in the heavens with your Savior. And that's a wonderful place to be. That's what we call positional body truth. Practically, though, this old guy is still walking around in a body that's got a sin nature. And that sin nature is going to cause me to want to have fellowship in other places other than in the light. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We're over in Ephesians chapter 5 right now. I skipped over Ephesians 4 and I'm over in 5 there, Mark. Didn't want to get over there. But he says what he's talking about. Let us therefore be not ye therefore. And of course, like Mark pointed out, that points back to something else, doesn't it? Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Not you and I. We're the children of the light. So the children of disobedience, the children of wrath, are those who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, therefore do not have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, or the mind of Christ and the ability to walk in the light, as you and I do. The ability to take in the Word, the ability to learn about Christ in a practical way, to learn about Christ in an experiential way, as Greg pointed out over in Philippians 3. By the by, Philippians 3 is a neat place to go. With all kind of information that Paul gives over in Philippians 3, and a lot of it has to do with discounting yourself, getting rid of self, and allowing yourself to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming more and more like Him each day. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Now are you light in the Lord. You have been born into the family of light. And he goes on, he says, walk as children of the light then. If I am a child of the light and I've been born into the family of light, then I'm expected to walk as a child of light. Praise the Lord. I'm not under any strictures. I'm not under that law anymore. And he doesn't order me anywhere in Paul's writings to do anything. He gives me the choice. How do I access the things that he has for me? Well, there's only one way. I have to lay down. I have to act like I'm dead and get out of the way. I can't help myself. I can't help anybody. Only he can help me. And then through me, he can work through me to reach other people. He can work through each one of us in our own individual ministry to reach out to other people. Did you know you have a ministry? I know it's been pointed out, but each and every one of us has a ministry. And we're here to edify each other. We're here to build each other up as we teach, as we learn, and we grow spiritually so that we can walk in the light. We're here for each other through Him, you see. He is the focus. He's always got to be the focus. Because if He's not the focus, then our work is in vain. Because it's our work. It's not His work. So it's in vain if He's not the focus. But he says, and here's the thing, walk equals fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And what truth would he be talking about? He'd be talking about the truth in this book. I just bet you that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the truth that we're looking at right here in this relatively new old Schofield here that I got for Christmas. So that's where I'm looking at it. And I know most of you have probably New King James out there. I know a lot of the pastors have gone to that. And it's a wonderful translation. I'm glad they have it. Just like I'm glad they have their computers and their cell phones and all that good stuff. And have no, notice it, proving what is that it is acceptable unto God. Now, how am I going to prove that or work that out, find that out, what is acceptable to Him? How many of you are married? A bunch of you, aren't you? Do you have a relationship with that other person in your life? Do you know quite a bit about that person? I know, man, it's kind of hard that way, but yeah, you know, they know more about you than you know about them. Take my word for it. But the thing about it is, how much do you know about the one who created you, the one who made that plan for your salvation before he ever created anything in this universe, the one who enables you to walk in the light? How much do you know about what he wants from you? I'm going to tell you what. I know that a lot of folks sitting in this room, and I'm looking out here at some of them because I remember when I was a young married man coming over here, that a lot of them, I thought they were old married people then. But they weren't. They were young. They were younger married people then. But if she does not send me on my way packing here before the 23rd, then she'll have kept me around for 34 years. So she knows quite a bit about me, and I act like a lot of times I know a lot about her, but she's a mysterious creature. I can't even think of what they call them people. He said that a woman is an enigma wrapped in a mystery. That's what a woman is, isn't she? Now there's a rabbit. Take that rabbit and do what you want with it. Okay. But he says, proving or discovering what is acceptable unto the Lord. What does he accept? Well, we've got the information right here in this book. We have all the information we need. Paul made very sure that we had the information that we would need to walk, to have a worthy walk, to walk in the light. He gave it all to us that we'd have to have. And that is so simple. But you know what I ran into here the other day, and it's not the first time. I ran into one of those people we see a lot of today. They don't really want to have to do this. You see, if you have to get into this book and study it, well, that's work. You mean I have to spend hours sitting over a desk reading this stuff? Or like, you know, Mark, some of y'all get it on the computer there and you look at it on the screen. Same difference. So do I have to do that? And, of course, they want the experience. I want the Christian experience. I want the feel-good experience that I can get from being a Christian person and experiencing the fellowship dinners and experiencing the camps and all of these things. That's what I want. I don't want to have to work for it. And I've shared with some of you sometime when I was in school, I dearly wanted to learn Spanish. I wanted to learn to speak Spanish worse than anything. But I did not want to have to study to learn Spanish. So therefore, I never learned Spanish. And it's the same way with the Word of God. If you don't study it, you're not going to find out anything about the light. You're not going to find out about the one that wrote this book, that breathed this book into existence. So that's where we need to be, isn't it? But he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and have... How much fellowship am I supposed to have with the world? None. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I might grow some mushrooms or some moss or something else in the dark, but I'm not going to grow any fruit in darkness. Plants don't grow in the dark. And Christians don't grow in the dark. You've got to get out there in that sunlight, and He is the sunlight. We have to get out there in our Savior, and we have to try to discover those things, prove those things that He has for us. Find those nuggets that He has for you in the Word. And it's so rich. It's so rich. And you will find that you have, the more that you learn about Him, the more desire you have to learn about Him. And it feeds on itself. It becomes a cycle in the Christian life. I know y'all over here on the right-hand side, it's hard for me to turn to the right-hand side over here and look. And I get admonished about that all the time, that I look more to the left-hand side than I do to the right-hand side. We just have two rows of pews, so I can just kind of look down the middle over there. But I'm not dissing y'all. I know you're all over there, and I love all of you. And I'll try to look that way more often. All right. But he says, we're not supposed to have any fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. But what are we supposed to do with those unfruitful works of darkness? In our own life, he's talking about. I am crucified with Christ. If I'm dead, I'm dead to this world, aren't I? Then those things are of no use to me. I need to learn that. That's what all of us need to learn. Those things are of no use to us anymore. We just thought they were when we were the children of darkness out there. We thought that they were some good to us. I thought after I became a child of the light that lots of things were good for me. But they weren't. But you know what? For years I justified a lot of them. Smoking those cigarettes and all of those terrible habits that I used to have. And I still have some of them. But, I could justify it so well. You know, it's me. It's my body. I'm in control of my body. I'm in control of me. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you turn this Christian loose in control of himself, everything's out of control. There ain't nothing happening that should be happening. And none of it would be in the light. It would all be out there in the dark somewhere, and we'd all be eating mushrooms. That's all it would be. There wouldn't be no fruit growing on the trees. It would all be mushrooms. But he says, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame to even speak of some of the things that go on in Christian homes today in secret. Of things that go on in church families in secret. It's a shame to speak about a life without Him. Live by His children, bought with His precious blood, but we will still go out there and live in the world. We'll still go out there and have fellowship with the darkness. And of course, Paul covered that too over in Romans 6. You know ye not? To whom you yield your members, that's whose servants you are. Whether it's to the enemy, to the darkness, or whether it's to God, to the one who is total light and no darkness is in Him, He is your servant. If that's where your heart is, if that's where your desire is, to become, to have a true victory over this life, over this sinful body that we have here, over all of these things in the world, if you want to have victory over that in your life, you're going to have to walk in the light. You're going to have to learn to walk in the light. You can't do it piddling around out there in the dark. But you know, all of us have our fingers in the dark somewhere, don't we? We all have those things. The old folks used to call them our besetting sin. And all of us have a besetting sin. There's something that attracts you, and there's something that attracts me. There's something that I think is not such a bad thing. And you know, it's a whole lot better than old brother Jim Morrison does. You know, I don't get nearly involved in things like Jim does. I have my own standards. I have standards. You know, hey, if I'm going to sin, I'm going to find something that's not nearly as bad as what somebody else is doing, or at least I'm going to make a good talk about that. I'm not nearly as bad as old brother so and so, and you hear that all the time. Oh, you know, old brother so and so, he's a dear soul, but he just can't quite seem to get it all together spiritually. And of course, I think at one time or another, we can all claim that that's been true in our lives. We ought to spend a lot less time putting old brother so-and-so down and putting him in his place, and spend a whole lot more time living in the light before Him and extending ourselves to Him in the place of our Lord and Savior, which is what you're supposed to be doing, isn't it? Aren't you an ambassador for Christ? I think He said that. I believe that He did say that over in 2 Corinthians 5. I believe He did tell us that we are His ambassadors, and He works through us. You see, not only for the household of faith, which we all love, and they come first. The household always comes first. The wife always comes first to the husband to the wife, the children in the home, and the church family, and then the body of Christ always comes first, but also to those who are without. Those who are without. And if you are truly walking in the light, then you're going to have not only enough, Paul said, to take care of your own needs, but you're going to have enough to reach out to other people with, to help other people with. I tell you what, now I'm going to chase a rabbit here. And Greg will tell you I never chase rabbits. But it's still, and it's been written many times, but it amazes me how large a $5 bill is when somebody puts it in an offering box, and how small a $100 bill is if they're in Bell's spending it, or some big jewelry store or something. You know, I don't understand. I have a dear friend who is a gun nut. You know, well, okay, that's where a lot of his money goes is guns, and that we all have those kind of things. There's a rabbit. There he is. Do what you want with him. Shoot him. Whatever, Mark. But he goes. Let me see what time I'm getting to be here. I don't want y'all to be. Pelting me with stuff here. Y'all been saving fruit out there, haven't you? But he says it's a shame to even speak of the things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, if you want to know what He desires, then look to Him. Look to His Word, because He will illuminate it for you. He will show you where there are things in your life that you need to get rid of. If you're going to walk in the light, you need to get rid of these things over here. And you know, have you found that in your spiritual growth through the years? As you grow every year, as you grow a little bit more, you start seeing things in your life that you feel uncomfortable about now. And you say, you know what? When I was a child, I played with those childish things. But I'm supposed to be a mature Christian believer now. There are things I need to start weeding out of my life. And you know what? On the other hand, there are things I need to start bringing into my life. And those are the things of the light. I need to bring the things of the light into my life. And I need to begin to weed out the things of the darkness. You'd be surprised how fast self disappears. Self just starts disappearing. When I take all of those greedy things that I've held on to, all of those greedy habits that I've held on to, all of those strongholds that I said, God, you can't have this. You can have everything else in my life. this is mine. This is mine. And you know what? That's that very thing that stands in the middle of the darkness that blinds you to the one that can help you, to the one that can give you all things, to the one that can grow you up, to the one that can give you that walk that is worthy of the light, of being a member of the family of the light. So all things are that are recouped are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. If it brings it into focus spiritually, it's the light. Satan's going to distort it. Satan's going to lie to you about it. He's going to come to you with all kind of guises and all kinds of different things that are going to sound good to you. You know, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I was stationed in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I used to hang out at a little Baptist serviceman's club there. And there was some folks came down one day and talked a few of us out in the yard there. And they said, you know, we're having a meeting down here. We want you to come down to this meeting. And it was a Buddhist group is what it was. They took us down to this meeting. And we willingly went. You know, we didn't know what it was all about. But the whole thing is, you see, they have a whole different take on what it takes to make it through this life. They have a whole different take on what it takes to get into the next life, you see. And that's anything. Just about any way you want to go, they've got it. Well, there's only one way, and that's through the light. There's only one way I'm going to overcome in this life, in this world, over this body, and that's through the light, not through anything else. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only doorway. He's the only one. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not any of these other people that are out there in the world today that they would like to have you. I was amazed when 9/11 happened how fast so many supposedly Christian people jumped on the universal bandwagon. You know, just jumped on the universal bandwagon. Well, I don't stand out here on the street and harangue Mormon boys as they go around on their bicycles. I don't stand here on the street and scream at the Muslims or anything like that. But I have to say that there is a limit there. The light goes so far in that way. The light goes in that we are supposed to live before other people of other faiths. Okay. So he says, verse 14, wherefore, since all that's true, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Where am I going for my light? Christ shall give thee light. He'll give you light. If you're yielded and you're allowing him to do it, he'll give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. And what does that mean? That means, and Mark will either bear me out on this or he'll throw me out. That means that I'm looking all around. I'm aware of what's going on around me. I'm aware of what's going on spiritually. You know what the Eastern religions teach? You know what they when we have this big thing today, everybody's into yoga. You know what the Eastern religions teach? That if you're going to do yoga, you release yourself everything. You clear your mind of everything. You clear everything out. You see, you just focus in on yourself. That's not what I don't think that's what the Word of God teaches. It says I'm supposed to be aware of what's going on around me. Who's in control of me? Is it, if it's me, then it's the enemy. It has to be the light. The light's the only one that's going to be able to control me. And here's the reason. And he says, if you're not walking circumspectly, he kind of called, you know, that's what he called the Galatians. He said they were foolish people. But here he says, not as fools. If you're not walking circumspectly, if you're not walking in the light, then you're walking as fools. You're stumbling around as fools. And we can stumble around as fools in the body of Christ. We can have the light and we can still stumble around as fools. And when we do that, we don't only hurt ourselves. We hurt all of those people who are watching us. If you go to church on Sunday morning, you can bet there's somebody that sees you come out of this church house or knows that you came into McDonald's for, no, none of y'all eat McDonald's, do you? You went into McDonald's for your lunch or whatever. There's somebody who's going to see you. Somebody at work, somebody at school is going to know that you claim to be a Christian. Is that what they see in you? Do they see a person of the light in you at work, at school, out there on the street, after you get out of church on Sunday? I think that's the criteria. We need to ask ourselves those questions. And I call it a self-examination, but it's really a spirit examination. Every once in a while when we're in prayer, we need to really ask the Lord to show us if there's anything in us that needs to be changed. whether that is changed toward the light or that's changed from the darkness. Whatever it is, we need to ask the Lord to show us those things. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, your money, your resources, all of those, your talents, your abilities, all of those things are gifts from God. He gave you those things, and He expects you to be a good steward of them. He doesn't expect you to squander them on the dark. He didn't expect you to squander them out there on the world. He wants you to use them to have that worthy walk before others. That's what He wants you to do with all the talents that you have. And you say, oh, I don't have any talent. I can't sing a note. I can't play the piano. If anybody can play the piano and wants to come over to Midpoint Chapel, we don't have a pianist right now, so we would love to have it. He gave you those talents so to use for Him. They're not there for you to use for yourself or for the world or whatever's going on out there in the darkness. They're here for you to use for Him. So, therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So if I'm going to prove out or understand what the will of God is, where am I going to go for that information? Well, you reckon? Yeah, I'm going to go to this book right here. That's where I'm going to go if I'm going to understand. And I'm going to find a good church family. I'm going to find a pastor that teaches and preaches the Word. I'm going to sit under the teaching. And not only that, but you know what? I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to study. I'm going to take study time for myself and my wife, for myself and my children. I'm going to find those things. Things I regret I didn't do when I was younger. But those are things that are so necessary if we're going to raise up children today that are going to walk in the light, that are going to have that worthy walk. We need to consider them. Now, you know, one thing I always hated to hear when I was a kid, don't do as I do, do as I say. What do kids do? What you do, don't they? Kids mimic adults. Kids, if you've got female children and you've got some kind of tick, your female children are going to have that kind of tick. You men, if you have some type of something wrong with you, then your children are going to pick that up. If you smoke cigarettes, if you drink, if you cuss, you know what? Them kids are going to do it. They're going to do it at an early age. You know, there were six of us kids. You know, both my parents smoked. You know how many of us kids smoked? All six of us. All six of us smoke. So there's your point right there. We cannot raise our children in that way. They need to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to see in us what they need to learn to walk in the light. That's what they need to see in us. That's what they need to get from us. They need to get a firm foundation in the Word. That's what they need. They have to have that if they're going to be able to walk that walk that they're expected to have, that worthy walk. So, fruits produced in the light. And how is that so? Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, guess what? And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, it's that simple, isn't it? Isn't it simple? Just walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a lot harder than it seems, isn't it? Because we have to learn that we can't walk, that we cannot walk without Him. We can do all the good deeds in the world. And one of the popular songs says, I can build a church much higher than the rest. I can do anything. And it's not going to equal out to my walk in the light. It has to be in Him. It has to be led of Him. He has to be permitted to be the one that's in control or doesn't. He says, verse 17 there, the verse before that says that the Spirit and the flesh lust against each other. You see, they're against each other. They're totally the opposite of each other. Juxtaposed to each other is one of those long words. So if they you can't mix. They're oil and water. That's where you get to darkness and light. They don't mix. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. You're either in the flesh or you're in the Spirit. Over in 5:24 and 25, he says, and that who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, they've learned that their position is in that crucified Christ, that they were crucified with Him, baptized into His death, as far as the Heavenly Father is concerned. Placed on that cross with Him, buried with him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, raised on the third day, and now seated in the heavenlies with him. Set your affection on things above, folks, because that's what he's saying. Put your affection on things above, and you'll not desire the things of this world. And I'm not that's not really true, because the flesh always desires the things of this world. That past that we have, and I had a woman admonish me here a while back for using this, but I'm going to tell you what, it's scriptural. And I think it's in three different times that I know of that it's in Scripture. The dog returns to his vomit. Always does. And we always do, to some degree. You and I are not going to reach sinless perfection in this life. I know there's folks out there that want to tell us that we are. They're going to tell us that it gets easier and easier. And it does in a lot of ways, doesn't it? As we become more and more used to walking in the light, as we become addicted to the ministry, as we become addicted to the light, then it becomes a lot less often that we're down there crawling around on our hands and knees in the floor. You know, a lot more time we spend on our knees in prayer. And that's the key right there, that we spend a lot of time in prayer. And that, he says, if we live in the Spirit or are alive in the Spirit, if we're alive in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Just the fact that I have the Holy Spirit living in me, you know what? It doesn't cause me to do good things. The Holy Spirit wants me to. He desires for me to. And I grieve Him when I don't. But He doesn't make me do anything. I choose to do what I'm going to do. And what I need to do is just yield. Allow Him to take over and drive the bus. Because we want the bus to get to its destination in good shape. We don't want it to get there all dented and banged up, you know, and no crowns or anything like that. We want it to get there in good shape. Why is it so important then for the believer to walk in the Spirit or in the light? Why is it so important? 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith." There you go. Steadfast in the faith. The only way that we're going to resist him. "Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." The same temptations, the same troubles, the same problems. We're all going to go through those things. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while." Ah, there's that study. There's that learning to live the life, all that suffering stuff. Start talking about the suffering stuff. You mean I'm supposed to suffer to be a Christian? Uh-huh. Paul was proud of it. He was so proud that he bore in his body the stigmata. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those marks because he was serving the living God. All of those marks because he was serving the only true Savior, Christ and Savior. But God, let's see here. Where am I at here? Oh, yeah. But he says, his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after he had suffered, after you suffered a while, he make you perfect. There again, as Mark pointed out, that's not perfect. That means that you're mature spiritually. Established, strengthened, and settled you. And that's the most important thing. When you get to that point of being settled in your spiritual life, don't ever settle for where you are in your spiritual life. But you become, what I like to say, you become like, you know, have you ever seen an old cow? Some of you have seen old cows out in the pasture chewing their cud. They're content. They are content to stand out there in that good green grass and chew that cud, which is their life, you see. And that's what we should be content to do, to stand in that vast green pasture that God has placed us in His care, as children of the light, as His children, and ruminate on His Word. Even be willing, as Paul, to suffer great things for His sake and for the message that He's given us to take to a dying world. And that's about it. He says, Ephesians 6:13, I'll share one more with you. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And that's any evil day. Whatever day that is, the enemy comes at you, you can withstand because you've got on the whole armor of God. Any day that comes. "And having done all," having put it all on, having done the study, having done the growing, having done the yielding, then to stand and take a stand for Him in the light. Father God, We just thank you for this family here in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the love, Father, that is in this building because we know it's your love. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those, Father, who are led and willing, Father, to yield and stand teach from your word, Father. Father, we're so thankful for each one that's here and for the love that we've shared across the years and the ministry, Father, and the wonderful fellowship that we've had in Christ Jesus across the years and that which is to come. And we just lift that up to you right now, Father. We pray for each church family that's represented here in this larger family, Father. And we just ask for your will in the services in the morning, Father, those who will teach and handle your word, Father, that we will be yielded, Father, and in your will as we stand before you and deliver that reasonable service, Father, that includes our yielding, Father, our getting out of the way, and our having a deep, deep desire, Father, to press toward the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. We just want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for everything that takes place here this weekend, Father, and that we know your word never returns to you void, but we'll accomplish that whereunto it is sent. And we just pray, Father, for those that are not here this evening. Pray for Molly, Father. We pray for those who are going through times of sorrow, those, who, Father, who are going through times of sickness. And, Father, we just know that that your good and perfect will be worked out in each one of those situations. And we just want to be careful to give you all praise and glory and honor in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.